We thank God for this time that has brought us together to seek His face. I believe that God is taking Emmanuel to a different level. He's brought us throughout all these years up to today, and is opening new chapter, new phase in the life of the church. And we are the people God is going to use through this phase to see the purpose and the will of God accomplished. And nobody is exempted from it. There is no retirement in this. Neither is there a child in there, because, you know, Eli was there when God spoke to Samuel. So there is no retirement, and there is no boy or girl or small boy or this, I'm that. It doesn't come into the equation. What God is saying is that He's leading His people into a new phase. And all of us are involved. And I pray that the Spirit of God will grant all of us the grace and the strength to see the part that God is calling us to play, because God in the beginning gave us the dominion. Dominion. I love that. That's one of my favorite verses in scripture. And God said, have dominion. The devil's thought he was taking the dominion from us, but Jesus Christ of Nazareth came back and gave the church dominion. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. So I'm part of the body of Christ, believers in Christ, who are invincible. The gates of hell shall not prevail. So the church of Jesus Christ is not supposed to be a group of harmless, irrelevant, mind your own business worshippers. Amen? Yeah. We are not supposed to be that. No. The Bible says, Jesus, when he was leaving, told the disciples, I give you power. Go. 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 So we hold the power. The power has been delegated to us. We need to understand the church. As God is moving us into a different phase, we don't have to look at ourselves as some helpless people who are rejected and dejected and don't know when the whole society and media, these are all against us, and so we don't know. No! That is not a mentality. Because if the disciples have had that, they wouldn't have progressed where for us to be part of what we are seeing and the joy we have in our hearts and the peace that Jesus has given to us. But Jesus said, go and wait. Never ever leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So in the upper room, everything around them was against them. They didn't have anything. They didn't have the degrees. They didn't have the political clout. They didn't have the connections. They didn't have money. They had nothing but what Jesus has said, the word of Christ. Tarry until you are endued with power from above. And when they tarried and the Holy Spirit came, they did not keep quiet. Amen? When the Spirit of God came, they did not sit in the upper room and enjoy whatever was being enjoyed over there. They did not keep quiet. If we keep quiet, things will be going on around us as the normal things. But they didn't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Lift up your voice, church. There is a new face, the new wind of spirit that is blowing. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Salvation. See, we are responsible for this generation. We, believers in Jesus Christ, we are responsible. And in my cell group in those days, you know, in Winnie Hill, is it 25 Winnie Hill, I told them, I said, look, I remember in those days we ask ourselves, what do you want to be? What are your aspirations? And things like that. And I said, my name is Peter. And in the Bible, I read about Peter, whose shadow, as he passed by, this shadow touches the sick and they are healed. And not until my shadow begins to heal on this planet Earth, I will not die. Praise the Lord. And I told them that. I'm praying that God grant me the grace to pack the biggest stadium on this nation. Like Manchester United playing Chelsea. The whole place is filled to capacity. And I want to see the whole place filled with capacity. Not watching football, but listening to the powerful word of God that brings life. These are my ambitions. This is what I want God to do. I've not achieved it. But in January, I was speaking to 4,000 students. I said, God, this is not it. And I remember in university, in Cape Coast University, there were about 6,000 students. And I swear, God, they won't fill the stadium. Praise God. But you see, brothers and sisters, we don't have to keep quiet. You don't have to sit down and begin. There is no spectator in the spiritual economy. We don't have anybody who has just come to church to watch proceedings going on. Because God has something for each and every one of us. We are in together to build the kingdom, to expand the kingdom. So this bunch of people left the upper room. And the Bible says that. If you read Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, and those people who have been turning cities upside down have also come here. They are coming to turn our cities upside down. This is our heritage. God confirmed his word. He said, God walked with them, confirming his word with signs following. This is a reality. This is a reality. And it is there for all of us. Students and all of us. And those who think they have gone on retirement. There is no retirement. It is not beginning. The work is not beginning. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So that is it. So let us take this challenge from the Holy Spirit and begin to run with this. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. For the new phase of what God is doing, don't keep quiet. You see, Daniel just went to the king and said, King, give me time. Give me time. Don't kill all these people. They can't interpret the dream. They can't remember and interpret the dream. But I have a God who would be able to do that. He's able to bring mysteries. He's able to open things up. So don't kill them. All I'm asking is that give me time. And then he went to his friends and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I have asked the king time. So you pray. In other words, what God is doing goes on the wheels of prayer. In the prophetic, in the service, in whatever we are doing, it goes on the wheels of prayer. That is why Daniel said, give me time. It's not time that you give me for me to go and do anything, to go and say, to go and do anything, but it is time for me to pray. Give me time because I'm going to my God. He reveals secrets. I know that. But you give me time. So he went to his friends and said, I have asked time from the king. So pray that God will reveal that mystery unto me. And God did exactly that. God did exactly that. At the time when Darius, and he said, when Daniel saw that the verdict had been signed, he opened his window, knelt down, prayed 3 times as he usually does. Part of him. The power runs on the wheels of prayer. So if you keep quiet and you keep to yourself, there is no way the explosion will come. But if you lift up your voice in your room, in the church, wherever you find yourself, the Spirit of God will begin to move. Begin to move. I was preparing for church one Sunday morning. I was preaching in Kumasi, in one of the fellowships in the university. And then I had a distress call. The lady said, "You don't know me, but my sister has returned from the United Kingdom. And her mind is gone off. She's throwing all the things she brought to us away. She's looking at us and saying that the place is dirty. Who has come to do?" And she wants to go out. And the reason I'm calling you is that when she came, she mentioned your name and your telephone number was there. So I just want to tell you that if you can come over. And I said, she mentioned the name, and I knew this woman. I knew this lady. I said, "Well, I'm going to preach. Make sure you keep her till I go. I come back. When I come back, you will come to my house and then we'll deal with it." You see, later, it occurred to me. Why didn't I tell this woman to go to the hospital? I started thinking after everything. So when she put the telephone on, I called Ken and I called Mike. I said, "Mike, please be in my house at 12 o'clock. We have something on our hands." I called Ken. "Please come. Two elders. Mike was first. So I called them, said, "Yes, we are coming." They came. And this is my door. And this lady has stood here. I said, "Please, let's enter the room." She said, "No. I just came to see you. Once I've seen you, I'm going back." And she was doing all sorts of things that shows that her mind was completely gone. That I didn't know what to do. We were standing there arguing. Then suddenly, it dawned on me. You have the power. Command her to do whatever you want her to do. So I looked into her face and said, "Look, Lisbeth, you are in my territory. This whole territory compound belongs to Jesus Christ. I command you in Jesus' name, enter into that room." She didn't utter a word when majestically entered into the room. Then we started praying, two of us and the sister. After about 3 hours of prayer, laying on of hands, praying, laboring, lifting our voice to God, shouting at every power of the devil, commanding the spirit that has taken over the brains and the mind and whatever system in our body to leave. We commanded this and prayed for about 3 hours. After laying our hands on her, we just said, "In Jesus' name, may your mind be clean." She rose up and began to look around. Began to look, "Where am I? Why am I here?" She went home. The sister called me and said, she's repacking all the things that she has thrown outside. And said, "But who threw these things away? Who did all those things?" You see what? And then I asked myself, after everything we sat down, we're discussing, I said, "Why did I tell this woman to wait and come to my house? Why is there big hospitals over there?" God has given us the power. It is inside our spirit. And the power must be reactivated, brothers and sisters in the Lord. In our contemporary time of technology, normal things will not work. I don't know how to interpret this, but normal, what I mean normal things is being a spectator will not work. In our day of technology, where technology is doing things that transcends human understanding, we need the supernatural power of God to come into our situations. To come into our situations. So you see, because the devil is aware of this power inside of us, sitting inside of us, what he's doing is that he's trying as much as possible to contain us. His biggest tool against Christianity in contemporary times is to make sure that you are satisfied, you are content. When you are content, you are contained. Contained. So he gives you a territory to operate in. Gives you a territory. And so you are operating this territory, in this territory. But he's giving you the whole of Durham, to walk up and down in the spiritual realm I'm talking about. But to just content yourself with this. So you realize that the prayer level is the same thing. There is some self-satisfied religious pride. And I don't want anybody to break my personal protocols. And everything is that. I mean, you are just there. Brothers and sisters. God is moving us out of that. God is breaking us forth. Progress stops when you are contained. When the devil gives you this limitation, progress stops. In every area. You can come to church and try to say some things. You can come to church and try to do some things. But once you are content with where you find yourself, with no progress in your spirit, no persistence in your spirit, no power to move ahead, no power to see the glory and the manifestation and the miracle of God in your life, you are contained. And you are limited. And you are satisfied. But God is moving us. We need to change this world. That is our heritage. The people who have turned the cities upside down have come here also. God has given us power to do exactly that. To do exactly that. So let us lift up our voice to God. It doesn't belong to some people. It belongs to all of us, believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lift up their voice and begin to worship God. As we worship Him, His glory comes down. And when his glory comes down, it manifests Himself in diverse ways in every life. That is what it means. That is what exactly the disciples caught it and began to run with it. So Peter and Paul, they walked, and Peter and John, they met this limp. Silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, we want to give to you. Look at us. Don't keep quiet. Church, in the new phase that God is carrying us to, do not keep quiet. Let us allow ourselves for divinity to invade our humanity, for the divine to come into our humanity to change things. Whenever the divine invades humanity, things change. Things change. Things change. But the thing is that we need to allow ourselves. We need to allow ourselves. We need to allow ourselves. I was telling some of the students, in 1976, when I was an undergraduate student, at that time, not many people go to university in our country. And there was nothing like any Pentecostal experience. All meetings you go are the normal things that they have done all these years. And there was no shake-up. Everybody was quiet. Everybody was, you know, we read all the normal methodological sequence. And the whole thing is there like that. Three of us just went. I said, brothers and sisters, let's do something. The Holy Spirit is in us. Let's do something. Let's come together. And let the Holy Spirit of God come down. And, you know, people began to laugh. Laughing at us. I mean, literal laughing. Scolding us. I mean, you are looked upon. I remember one day I was just singing and preparing to go to church. And then this young man on our floor, Peter, what song are you singing? That's what. As I'm preparing to go to church, and he said, "You mean you clap your hands?" I said, "Yes." "So what?" "So there are people in the embassy who clap their hands." I said, "Yes. We are living for Jesus Christ." So I just want to tell you that these are issues that you face, and it is not only in United Kingdom; it's in Africa, it's any other way. Of course, now things have changed. But so many years later, I look back. And that group that was started in that small place, now they can't have a place to meet. It's so huge. Thousands of young people. And as I go then, I look back, I say, "God, I thank you." None of them know me. But one day I went there and I told them how it all began. And they were so joyful. I told them, look, a time came when we wanted to have an all night. All the lecture halls and everything has been closed. Of course, because we have not had opportunity to register. Because we don't have any lecturer to lead us to do that. We need a lecturer to sign something. Couldn't get anybody. So everything was closed. So we had the all night outside in the open air. And we did it. And God spoke. I'm going to use you to do great, great, great things. At that time, we didn't understand. But now, we see. These young people, every long vacation, they are in the villages. And hundreds of thousands of people are giving their lives to Jesus. People are being healed. It started somewhere. So I believe that God is bringing us in this place, not just for the fun of this, for the beauty of it, to come here and enjoy the music and everything. But no, there is something inside you as you sit here. And together, we move the power of God for them to know that Jesus is alive. He's alive and well. He's not asleep. But it is us to gird the loins. The Bible, the King James says, gird the loins of your heart. And together, move into what God is doing. Wake up. Stand up to the Lord. And allow God to work in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Just allow ourselves. Allow ourselves. Because, you know, Jesus woke up from the grave. So at least if you can't do anything at all, you must wake up from your bed. He woke up from the grave. Let's wake up from the bed. Lift our voice up. And go day and night, bang the throne of heaven. Lord, send forth your grace. Send for salvation upon our people. Send for salvation upon the city. Send for salvation even in the church. Because there are people even sitting in the church who are not saved. Lord, let your glory come down. It will take the glory of God to do that. Don't let us be contained. So if you are here and you are contained tonight, liberate yourself by the Spirit of the living God and allow God to meet. And as I said, I like Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. The Bible says, Peter received revelation to eat all those animals. But Lord, they are unclean. God said, kill and eat. He said, I can do that. Don't you know me? I'm Peter. I'm Jewish. If you don't know God, let me remind you. Maybe you forgot, I'm Jewish. The Bible said three times, kill and eat. He said, no, I can't do that. A Jewish person, I've not done that before. So you can't tell me now to do this. How can I eat this? It's not possible. Three times. God, he knew it's a revelation. It was a revelation from God. Three times. And then when he opened his eyes, there were a knock. Some people were there. And what I love is that the Spirit of God said, Peter, go with them. Spoke to him again. Go with them. I have sent them to you. It was when he went to a Gentile home to go and give a Jewish person, a pillar in the church like Peter, going into a Gentile home to give the gospel was something that he never ever dreamt of. So, brothers, in the new face of what God is doing, God wants us to, you know, stop talking about, change our thinking, talking about arguments. You see, I have led a church with full of students and the professionals who have gone through the walls of the university, and I tell you, I led one that it was. Very local. That's a very local, traditional people with about, where you get about 99 point something percent illiterate. And then I've led one with graduates and PhDs and lecturers and pharmacists and all those people there. And I tell you, we do a lot of analysis. We put a whole lot of strongholds in our minds and thinking, what? These people just rise up. The illiteries that I was leading will just rise up and say, yes, let us pray in the name of Jesus Christ. These people say, but how about when, why, and all those things? They begin to do all the analysis. It is good. It is good. But after all the analysis, God wants action. After all the analysis, brothers and sisters, God wants action. He wants you to be in the action part because that is where He manifests His glory. That is where you will see the miracle. Miracle is not for people who sit down and do like this. It is for people who rise up and say, Lord, that is what you said. So if you said it, then Lord, do something about it. That's it. Because we've heard that one of us is not well, either in the hospital or in the home. All right. We have the power. We have the key. We have the power. The Bible says that we will lay our hands on the sick and they shall well. And Jesus, I give you power. When Jesus was sending the 72, He told them that if you go, heal the sick. It is our mandate. So it's not a matter of giving all our mandate to the doctors. It's good. They are doing it. But He's given us a mandate. He's given us a power. If you go, heal the sick. Proclaim the good news. The salvation of God. But heal the sick. Deliver them. The Spirit of God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Bind the brokenhearted. It is my responsibility by the power of the Holy Spirit to wipe out tears, to bring life and smile onto faces. And even if there are no smiles, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to go through. Power to go through, no matter the circumstances. So, brothers and sisters, it is important. It is important that all of us together know where God wants is leading us, where God is leading us. But we cannot, capital letters underlined, we cannot do anything without prayer. Without prayer. Morning, afternoon, night, moment by moment, in our cars, as you drive, pray, in the office, wherever you find yourself, lift up your voice to God. If there is any situation, speak into the situation by faith. If we do that, we begin to see the miracle of God every day in our lives. Because God sent people to us. Do we know that? I pray from today, begin to note this carefully. If you pray every day for salvation of souls, for healing of souls, God will deliberately send people to you. I've seen it in my life. Somebody taught us that if you wake up in the morning, ask the Lord to send people to you for salvation, for healing, for deliverance. And if you do that, God begins to, and it's amazing, send people directly to you. It comes in different forms. It comes in different forms. And you see, at this situation, you don't have to rise up and take a big Bible with you and begin to quote quotations from the Bible. Sometimes it's just one word. Sometimes it's just small word of encouragement. The person goes back. The Holy Spirit sets that word in motion in his spirit. The next day he comes and asks you, Peter, yesterday what you said, thank you. And then the Spirit of God is saying that, continue. Don't say, that's all right. Oh, thank you very much. Don't say that's all right. When the person comes back, the Spirit of God is saying that, continue. Because I have a work to do. I have a miracle. And then as you move on, the person begins to tell you, this is my challenge. And then you tell him immediately, I have a God who is able. Can I pray with you? If the person says yes, even if he says no, then I will pray for you in this situation. And tonight, or within the week, or within the year, God will give you a miracle. When God gives you a miracle, please, just announce it. You see, brothers and sisters, I can go on and on and on and on. But the situation is that we need to lift up our voice. It is scriptural. It is there. We are literate. We read. We read. We understand. Whenever I read scripture, I say, God, help us. I am not there yet. But it is your grace, oh. It is your grace that is with us. So, but Lord, help us. Because when God said, I told Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah, he must prepare. He's going to die. And then Hezekiah said, the news got to him. That says the Lord, Hezekiah, prepare. If you don't have any lawyer, find a lawyer, have a will. And because you are going to die. Hezekiah looked at him and said, God, me, I won't die. I choose life. The Bible says he went over, looked at the wall, began to pray and cry unto God. And God sent the same Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah that I have added another 15 years. Assuming he told Hezekiah that Hezekiah, go and prepare. Because God says that this sickness, you will die in this sickness. It's all right. Please, prophet, can you get me a lawyer? And then he started preparing the will. What would have happened? He would have died. He would have died. So accepting situations in our personal lives. If you accept the situation, it will remain. If you accept the situation in your family, it will remain. If you accept the situation in the city, it will remain. If you accept the situation in the country, it will remain. But if all of us here together begin to lift up our voice and say, God, we want you to change the situation, God will come down. He will. He will. He will certainly come down. But all of us together must agree and lift up this voice to God. The Bible, when God was speaking, he said, go and tell Hezekiah, I've heard his prayer. I have seen his tears. I've heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I've therefore had 15 years. It means he was serious. He was in agony, agonizing prayer, coming to God, wrestling with God, traveling God, and saying, God, something must happen. Something must happen. So if you have anything, even right now, in your life that you have accepted all these years, if there are situations you have accepted, it is time for you to get angry, some holy anger in your spirit. You need to be angry about the situation. And say, God, come in. The godlessness that is all around. God, aren't you God? Come into the situation. We went to a village to pray, to preach the gospel. There was a big fetish that the whole people are afraid in that area. And at that time, we were young people. We went out. And then as we started, an old woman came. Please, young people, you will die. Oh. You don't joke with this. The things that you people are saying, you will die. Please, I beg you. Your life is precious. Why don't you stop and go and sleep? But the following morning, we didn't die. The next day, we didn't die. Saturday, we didn't die. Sunday, we're still alive. And the woman was beginning to say, no, there is something in what these people are saying. So now you tell them, come to Jesus. And they run. Why? They have seen something. They have seen the evidence. You've seen the evidence. And it takes prayer. So Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, people that God has sent us together from all nations and from all places to Emmanuel, we are here for a purpose. And God is opening a new chapter. Let us put aside pride and arrogance in every form. Let us put aside division. Because we move together. The Bible said they were there together in one accord. Let us understand the Spirit's leading in this new phase of Emmanuel. It involves everybody. Please, don't isolate yourself. Because there is some power inside of you. The power of the Holy Spirit. There is the giftings of the Spirit of God inside of you. Some people are sitting over here. They must lift up their hands, just their hands. And healing comes forth. Some people are sitting over here right now. They lift up their voice and the glory of God comes down. But they are now quiet. And God is saying, lift up that voice. Because there is some power inside of you. The rivers of living waters want to well up. It wants to flow. How will it flow? It will flow when you open your voice and say, Father, in Jesus' name. Peter said, look at us. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have given you, we, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. We need people to do that. Hallelujah. And it is our responsibility as a church of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is that. There is no situation that is hopeless with Jesus. There is no nothing that he cannot do. And so as we met over here, we have very limited time. But I want us to pray. And I want us to pray. And what the Spirit of God is saying to me is that don't look at yourself as a weakling. Don't look at yourself as limited. Don't look at yourself as God is speaking to somebody else, but not you. Because it is you that God wants the rivers of living waters to begin to well up in you. God wants the rivers of living waters begin to flow. And when the rivers of living waters begin to flow out of you, many miracles, many great things are going to happen that will blow your mind to know God. You know, God, Jacob said, God is here and I didn't know. I didn't know that God is with me like this. I didn't know that God can use me like this. You'll be hearing about all these things. You may be even reading about it in scripture. But God says, I'm going to make it real in your life. I'm going to make it real. I pray that we all choose that and allow him to work in our lives. That is it. It is we together, coming together and lifting up our voices and saying, Lord, we agree with what your Spirit has said. And I give myself to you, Lord. And I pray that your Spirit will move me, but obey your voice. What we want God to accomplish, obey our voice. And the prophetic from us, if it's when you open your voice, that God will begin to move in our lives. So this is the message God is giving to us tonight. In the prophetic, you give yourself time. You must give yourself even sometimes to fail, sometimes to make mistakes. But that doesn't still tell make us, you know, confine ourselves to a small corner like this and say, as for me, you see, there are some people like that in my country. As for me, that is how I am. In my family, that is how we are. That is how we are. No. In the Christian life, in the economy of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the spiritual economy, we allow him. We allow the Spirit to work in us, to use us, to do whatever we want to do. But we need to yield to him. And so as we begin to lift up our voice in this short time that we have, I want you to know and see yourself. There is so much power inside you. And God is moving all of us so that you don't become a spectator. He's moving us to a different chapter, a new chapter altogether. A new chapter. And don't accept any form of weakness. Any form of weakness. Don't allow the devil to do. Because you see, the devil needs your permission to enter into your life. Amen? Do we know that? He needs your permission. He needs your permission. If you don't allow him, he won't come. You need to allow him. You need to allow him. But if the devil knows that you are somebody that has a flint face, you don't allow anything that is not from him, from the Lord, to come, he will flee. And you lift up your voice and he will flee. And let's see what God wants to do. Shall we please stand? Please. Shall we please stand? It's a very short moment of time. But I want you to lift up your voice and say, God, if the people in Acts of the Apostles receive it, if the people in the Acts of the Apostles, they experience that, it is our time. It is our era. It is our period. This is the time of the Spirit of God moving amongst us. And this is my time. Lord, I want to experience everything. I want to experience everything that is read about in the Bible, in the Acts of the Apostles, in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament. I want to experience it. If it is healing, I want to experience it. If it is anointing, I want to experience it. If it is the power of God, I want to experience it. If it is the anointing of God, I want to experience it. If it is miracles, I want to experience it. But Lord, I lift up my voice to you. So lift up our voice to God. Begin to close and begin to lift up your voice to God and cry unto God and say, Father, in Jesus' name,